Welcome to the Miracle Camp podcast, and thanks for checking out this recording from summer camp. Please enjoy listening to our speaker from this week.
That was really cool watching you guys all by yourself all over this campus, having like a quiet time with you and God, like reading your Bible, praying. Some are sleeping. Isn't it cool though? I want to tell you something. I want to encourage every one of you in this place. I remember when I was your age, and you know what? Sometimes I'd do this alone thing, like, and it's awesome, and I'm so proud of you guys, and it's so amazing. But sometimes I didn't feel a thing. And sometimes I didn't feel a thing. Sometimes I'm reading that Bible, I don't feel nothing. I'm reading, I'm like, I'm not getting nothing. Anybody can relate to me? I'm like, I'm tired. I'm like, enough of this, you know. I mean, that's reality, right? That's... Sometimes you might be in this chapel and we're singing songs and you don't feel a thing. Anybody can relate? Sometimes you feel everything, right? But I want to encourage you today, like, this isn't by feelings. It's on the truth. We came here to hear about the truth. And because I know what it's like for you guys, I'm just a little bit older. Okay? I'm like, well, just a little bit. Hey, Charlotte, just a little bit. I'm 55. So that's just kind of a little bit. But I know that when I left high school and I got through playing junior hockey and professional hockey, I remember there were times when I was alone and I didn't have all this wonderful music and all these people around me and these leaders, and I didn't have a good Christian friend. And I open up the Bible and I don't feel nothing. And I needed something that was based not on how I was feeling or how I was doing. Because this is the truth. You're going to find yourself in these places. I'm not really living like a Christian. I'm not really doing what I think I'm supposed to be doing. And you need something a lot more powerful than yourself. And we've come here to hear about him. His name's Jesus. And he's so wonderful. And none of it's based on your feelings or how you're doing. It's all based upon him. And his Father sent him to do all the work for you. He lived the perfect life for you and went to the cross and did the perfect sacrifice for you so that you don't have to rely on your own feelings, your own spiritual stuff, whatever you're doing, your own prayer life. You don't have to rely on that, because I'm telling you right now, it goes like this. Is there anybody honest in here? Like, come on. You can't keep it up, and you weren't expected to. God gave his only begotten son. He gave his best because you couldn't bring it anyway. I remember this saying I wrote in my Bible years ago. Keep doing your best, pray that it's blessed, and God will take care of the rest. And I thought it was really cool, right? Keep doing your best, pray that it's blessed, and God will take care of the rest. And then I realized a little bit older, it's not about your best. It's about God's best. It's not about your best. It's about God sending his best, his only son, the very best, for you to do it for you. And now that you are saved and a Christian, to do it through you and in you. Isn't this a great gospel? So today, if you're a little bit discouraged about your times here and maybe you don't feel such things, or you see somebody jumping with their hands in the air and you're like, I don't really feel this. It's okay. You know what? You might leave this place and not feel a thing. You might be, some of you guys from Spain, you might be flying home on a plane, and you might get home, and then all of a sudden you go, whoa. You might go back to Germany, and maybe there you'll go, that kind of made sense, what they said. It's not a race. So I want to encourage you, it doesn't matter what you're feeling. It's not based on feelings. It's based on the truth, and it's based on just a little trust, a little faith. And God's actually given you the faith for this to work. He even supplies that, because you can't make it up on your own. So anyway, let's get to the Bible here and read these verses in James. Did you guys have good Devo last night? I've heard from around that there was some good talk. I love it. Just get into it and ask questions. So let's go. Now today it's about your tongue, taming the tongue. You guys all got good language and, you know, okay. So, dear brothers and sisters, Not many of you should become teachers in the church. Let me stop there. Oh, first of all my leaders, all you leaders in this place, put your hand up. Yeah, that's it. Why don't you go ahead and stand up and let's give these guys a hand for being here all year and all of the, yes. You guys are awesome. Look at this verse here. Hold on. Stay standing. Why are you? Did my daughter say, are you a soccer player? Yeah, but then they quit your team or they stopped the team or is it still going? Because you're at Moody?
Yeah, I'm at Moody. They don't have a soccer team.
They don't. But I heard you're a pretty good soccer player. Okay. So I want to encourage you guys, listen here. This verse kind of throws you under the bus here. Dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers in the church. Good thing, I mean, it's almost like James is throwing you under the bus. You should, maybe be a leader. Thank God you guys listened to his voice and came here. And God's moving in you. I'm like, not many? Well, then who should? Well, I know who should. All of you. And thank you for answering the call to God to get here and to help these kids. I'm so proud of you. God's so in love with you guys, and you're doing an amazing job. I want to encourage you today. Can you guys give them one more hand? They're awesome. Way to go. I don't know about you. I'm like, James, what are you talking about? Dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers in the church. I'm just like, I'm glad that I didn't hear that verse like that because I would have never been a pastor. But I'm so glad that the Holy Spirit is calling so many of you. And he called me at a young age. And many of you in this place are going to be leaders someday. And I want to show you, he's not throwing you under the bus and discouraging you from being a youth leader or a minister someday. And some of you guys here I've talked to, you want to be a pastor someday. You want to start a church. You go for it. And you do what God's put in your heart. Maybe you want to be a missionary. You go for it. And it's awesome. But I think God's going to show us something here today that the tongue is really important. And he says here, for we who teach will be judged more strictly on what we say. And we're going to talk about it. Indeed, we all make many mistakes. Thank God that it's okay to make mistakes as a Christian. Thank God that there's grace every day in your life. Anybody ever make mistakes? Yeah. And I'm so thankful that there's grace that tells me over and over, it's not your performance, it's Christ's. And I'm going to lean on that till the day I step into heaven and this thing will be over. Amen? And you can do the same. For if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. We can make a large horse go wherever it wants by means of a small bit in its mouth. A small rudder, like on a boat, or makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches, but a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire, and among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness corrupting your entire body. It can set whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. People can tame all kind of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil, full of deadly poison. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. Does a spring of water bubble out of both fresh water and bitter water? Does a fig tree produce olives or a grapevine produce figs? No. You can't draw fresh water from a salty spring. Let's pray and we'll just talk about it. Thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit moving in this little chapel this morning, in every group, in through every leader, and everybody in this camp, your spirit is here, and we thank you, helping us to make sense of how much you love us and how much you care for us. In Jesus' name, amen. So it's interesting. I'm going to give you two stories about the tongue, but I think primarily this is really talking, I don't know, like he was talking to some leaders there that your tongue is really important. And so for me as a young leader, I gave so much of how to when I was young, like these amazing leaders here, when I would lead groups and youth groups, I would give so much about what they should be doing and not the how to. Like my message didn't contain the cross, really, and for the Christian. Like it didn't contain grace. It didn't contain, like, it's not about your performance, it's about the performance of Christ. And so now that kind of changes. I know this is going to be talking about you guys having good speech, and a Christian should, and they should talk different than the world. But I think more it's about our leaders. How we are desperate in the church and at miracle camps like this all over the world that leaders stand up and give the truth. As Paul said, I don't want to stand in my own righteousness. I want to stand covered in the righteousness of Christ. That's the gospel, because you're going to blow it. And you don't stand before heaven with all your good deeds. You stand covered in the blood of Jesus, and that alone. And I'm so thankful for that, because if he's judging me how good I was, I ain't going to make it. But if he judges me upon the performance of Christ and his precious blood, then I'm coming straight in, and you can too. And everyone who trusts in that, that's the promise. And so today, leaders, I want to challenge you, and I want to challenge myself. In all your teaching, in all the great teaching you're doing, I was in Wyatt's group, and I can't stop thinking about you and your group and your boys. They're amazing. And I heard you teaching them, and I was like, this is incredible. Thank you. But I want to encourage us here, and all of us. Kids are so desperate for the truth of grace, because all we know is performance. And grace is the thing that makes you free. Grace is the thing that empowers you. Grace is the thing that makes you live right. And so, teachers, youth leaders, give them the how-to. It's great to tell kids how they should be living. Don't do this. Don't do that. Don't go sleeping around before you're married. Don't do drugs. Don't do alcohol. And so on. I'm telling you, it's beautiful. But tell them, please, in the church, you that want to be pastors and leaders, tell them the how-to. It's not by your own works. How do you get set free from sin, and how do you live right? It's by the precious cross of Christ and that alone. And you saw that first video, I think it was the first day I was up here. If you answer, it's what I'm doing, you've missed it. Tell them it's what Christ has done, and tell them it's what Christ is doing in me, and that's the only hope we've got. And guess what? We're living proof today, all of you, that he does make a difference the way you talk and act and live. Amen? That's the hope of the cross and of the gospel. And so I want to challenge leaders here. You might not like a lot of my teaching, and I didn't like the teaching of the cross when I was 30 years old either. I was like, come on, it's just grace and the cross, and it bugged me. But when I let it start sinking in, I was like, oh, why have I not been knowing this my whole life, that it's not about me, but it's about Christ. And if you'll let it sink in, it's a game changer. My wife and I are like, it changed us forever. We actually have something to give young adults and to give people that's a game changer. It's called Amazing Grace. Everybody say Amazing Grace. So, this is, James is talking about the tongue. I think he's really talking to mostly leaders in this place. I'm speaking to every leader. That I'll ask God to give you words of freedom and liberty. And that only comes by grace and faith alone in what Christ has done at the cross. Let that be in your speeches and in what you give kids, and not just the what to do and not to do. Because without it, you just have law and religion, and it'll kill you. Now, the other thing here, he's talking about your tongue and how it changes. Also, just the way you talk, right? So I've seen so many people get saved, so many hockey players, and I'm just being honest with you here now. I love it. I'm not saying that cussing and swearing is right. I think you guys have learned that it's not, that your mouth should be clean. But I've seen hockey players, okay, you guys that are athletes here, Wyatt, you're a soccer player, your soccer teams, well, maybe you're in a Christian school, but you probably grew up on non-Christian teams, did you? Okay, well, you know the language that's on these teams, right? You guys know the language that's in your school. It's not Christian, is it? Unless you're in a Christian school, then you got probably nice language. But if you grew up in the world like me, and like my son plays professional hockey, you're hearing everything, and you know what I'm talking about. I mean, everything. And I've started to lead some of these hockey players to Christ, and I love this. Now, some people would say, that's horrible. But I've heard them, as they start getting saved, and they start seeing, what is this? I've heard them come to me and say, right in the middle of a hockey chapel, like kind of like your Devos, and I go, what are you feeling? And the guy goes, this is effing awesome. I mean, because we're in church, like, you don't want to hear that. He was real. That's all he knew. This is, you know, F-bomb, awesome. I think Jesus would say, wonderful, you're getting saved. I'll worry about the mouth. Don't worry about that. I'll take care of that. But, you know, in church, we hear that. And, oh, this guy, I was like, he's getting saved. God will take care of that. And so I seen this happen. And you know what? God wants to clean up the way you talk. And I've seen him do it in hockey players. But he's the one that's going to do it. And I want to tell you a story about my own life, because I don't know what it is about cussing. Like when we hear somebody say a bad word, oh, they are really not living with the Lord. But it happens. And I'm going to give you an example. And I'm not saying it's right, but I'm saying we're broken people. I grew up, my dad got saved when he was playing for the Detroit Red Wings, and I've told you that. And he got saved and he changed. Alcohol went out the house, cussing went out the house, and he brought us up that way. And I didn't ever cuss. I never ever heard the F-bomb come out of my mouth. I never said it. I was taught right, and I'm thankful my parents taught me that. So I go to Germany here 2 years ago. I get a job to coach a 17-year-old hockey team. And one of my good friends hires me. He grew up with me in Canada, and he knew that I was a Christian all these years because I used to play with him. We played pro together. And he knew that Mark Basson never swore, and he never used the F-bomb. I just didn't. I knew it was the right thing, and it just didn't come out of me. So he knew that. He hired me. Halfway through the season, we were not doing that good, and I was frustrated. And the way this team was is there was a lot of money on the line, so we had to win, because in Germany, the way the hockey system set up is if you don't win or get so many stars in your organization, then you drop down to a lower level, and you don't acquire as much money from the German Ice Hockey Federation. It's called the DEB. And so there was a lot of pressure on the line. Well, my team wasn't winning. We weren't doing good. And I got frustrated one day. And I went into the locker room one day because the kids weren't working hard and they needed a good whooping. You ever get it, need a good whooping? Well, they needed it. So I went in the door, slammed the door, and went in. Now, I had not cussed my whole life. It was not even in my vocabulary. Well, that day, something came out.
It was maybe the salt water that was should have been fresh water. And as I started to give it to these boys, words start coming out, and I, you know, it's like slow motion. Where is this coming from? And even the boys were like, because they knew who I was, and as a pastor, And I was like, it's just coming out of me. And here's the part of the story that gets pretty interesting. My boss who hired me, my friend that I was a teammate with, he knew I was mad, and he heard the door slam. But he's the boss. He's got the key. So he comes in as I'm giving it with this language that wasn't right. He unlocked the door and came in, and he was listening behind the door the whole thing. I didn't know he was there. And I'm going off, losing it. After it's done, I walked out, and he says, can you come on into my office, Mark? I said, yeah, sure. So he starts repeating the things I said. And I was embarrassed. And I was ashamed. And he even said, Mark, what's wrong with you? You might have to get a new religion or a new God or something. What happened to you? In that moment, something happened to me. It was actually a real amazing moment for me. Because in that moment, I started to realize, what did I believe in? Did I believe in my own performance, my own righteousness that I had taken so much pride in for 50 years of my life? I'm a Christian. You should write it on my tombstone. I'm a Christian who's never said those words. Or am I a Christian because the blood of Jesus is what saved me? And not my own works, and not my own beautiful language, but the blood of Jesus is why I stand in heaven and why I'm a Christian today. And in that moment, I want to tell you this, and we'll end here. What are you standing in today? Are you standing in your own good works? You're a good Christian. You're a good... Or do you want to stand... That day, I had the choice. I was like, I could be really condemned today, and I could really be thrown under the bus, and I totally made a fool of myself. Or am I going to walk out? And I did. I'm so glad I had this teaching of the cross of Christ. I said, I'm choosing the cross today. I felt so free. I had totally blown it. I mean, that was not right. At the same time, I'm totally free by what Christ did at the cross, because I'm standing in his righteousness and not my own. And I don't know, that story probably could help all of you, because everyone makes mistakes. And what are you going to stand in? Your own good deeds, your own clean mouth, your own... And he does want to clean you up, and he will. And he does want to give you beautiful speech coming out your mouth that's fresh and encouraging. But when you make a mistake, that's why you're here today. You're receiving some of the most beautiful information you'll ever hear in all your life. The cross of Christ saves a sinner for those who've never accepted, but the cross of Christ is saving you over and over and over, and it's encouraging you over and over, you that are Christians, to stand in it. Stand in the work of Christ. Stand in his performance and his beautiful Holy Spirit and his wonderful blood. And stand today in that. And you want to get free? That's what makes you free. Why does it make you free? Because you're free not based on what you do. You're free because he's set you free. Most beautiful stuff. So today, you can go to your devos here, and when you talk about this tongue, talk about it. And is it right to have the right language? What about gossiping? Oh, none of you do that, do you? None of us gossip, right? Have you tried stopping it? You can't. It just keeps running. God wants to clean it up. And he will clean it up. And today, you know how? Simply say, I'm finished trying to clean it up. I'm trusting in your finished work, Lord Jesus. And that's the answer. So today, be encouraged. Be lifted. Be encouraged. Be inspired in this one named Jesus. He's the difference maker in your life. Amen. I want to pray for you right now, and then you can go. Lord, thank you for amazing grace. Thank you for its making us free. Thank you for the Holy Spirit touching each one of us today, making us free and shining a light on the gospel once again. In Jesus' name, everybody said.
Thanks for listening to this chapel session and for diving into Scripture with us. We hope you've been encouraged in your walk with Jesus, and we hope to see you here at camp for next year's summer camp. So, thanks again, and have a great rest of your day.